Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but good. And tasted your grace, and I was so lost till I fell. Of the Lord, and I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Glad to have all of those of you who are with us on our social media platforms. Want to encourage you there. If you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of those things, be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, retweet there. That just helps to get the word out even more. So be sure to do all that. Thank you also for being on our phone live streaming there too. And if you have any issues with the sound or anything there, don't let me know. I can't do anything about it. But we'll get it fixed for you this coming week if we do. But do please comment if you have any issues there. Also want to encourage you, if you have access to our church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for today. You can also download the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsill to my right, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. So be sure to get those downloaded at home. Pick up those if you're here in person and need those in the windowsill. And then also don't forget our prayer list. Those are out here on the table across from the offices. You can pick those up or you can download it there from the info link under the Highland Baptist Church website there. So be sure to take the time to do that. If you're a guest with us this morning, we want to encourage you to pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage out here in the hall or at the door as you leave this morning. It's just a gift that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. It's got some things in it for you as well as some information about our church that we wanted to share with you. So wanted to make sure you take the time to get one of those. And if you do have kids that you want to send to Children's Church, we'll be doing that in a little while in one of our songs, and Brother Mike will let you know when that is. But be sure to sign in your children on the sheet that's out in the hallway outside the door here, and then sign them out when you pick them up after Children's Church. So Brother Mike.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I want to thank you guys for your prayers for Bethany and for the family, and also thank Brother Jim and Bradley for standing in the gap for me while I've been gone. So if you're here and you want to praise the Lord for blessing you like I want to stand here and sing, stand with us as we sing hymn number 15, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above, praise the mount I fixed upon.
Well, as we come to our missionary moment of the week, you'll see this in your bulletins there, is Reggie and Courtney Johnson, who are serving in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I encourage you to take the time to read their story there in the bulletin and pray that the gospel will flourish there in the west end of Pittsburgh as God is using them to reach out to many people in those communities. And underneath our missionary of the week, you'll also see the prayer requests for our Moldova missionaries. We want to encourage you to be reading through those each day and praying through those as we pray for our missionaries there in Moldova. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for them. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Johnsons and all that you're doing in and through their hearts and their lives, and accepting the call to go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania there as one of our North American missionaries. Father, we pray that you would just bless them, open up opportunities for them to share the gospel. Father, as they're seeking to minister to people in neighborhoods that are highly diverse, with lots of needs, not only spiritual needs, but physical needs, Lord, I pray that you will open up opportunities for them to meet needs and share the gospel at the same time. And Father, we just pray that you will help the gospel to flourish in the West End of Pittsburgh there. Father, we also want to pray for our Moldova missionaries. Lord, you know the things that they have going on in their lives, the needs that they have, and the ministry that they're doing to so many people there in Moldova. We pray, God, that you will open up the hearts of the people in Moldova to receive the gospel. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that you would be with them as they launch their digital engagement in ministry, as well as they get ready to fly back to the U.S. Father, we pray for you to watch over them and to keep them safe. And so, Father, we pray that you'll open up opportunities for them to share the good news of Jesus Christ too. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives today. Thank you for bringing us here into your presence to worship you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor for all that you say, all that's said and done here, as well as the songs that are sang. We uplift our hearts, our lives to you. We lay them down as a sacrificial offering before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, let me just remind you, if you're at home there, you can go to highlandbaptistchurch.com, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your online giving, your regular online giving. You can still be giving to the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. We're still not quite there with our goal yet, so I want to encourage you to do that. You can do that in person in the pink envelopes that are in the windowsills and on the tables. You can do your regular offering on the white envelopes, but you can do that also online here in person too. So please take the time to do that. It's highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side and click that Give Online tab there. And then the only other thing that I need to share with you this morning is just to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all who helped in whatever way that you did with the Trunk or Treat event that we just did this past Thursday. Maybe you just brought candy. Maybe you just prayed for us. Maybe you helped do hot chocolate or serve food or helped with parking. It was a great success. We had just over 400 kids that came through, plus the adults, a little more than 1,200 people total that came through. So the gospel went forward to them and to their families. So thank you for volunteering and being a part of that wonderful outreach that we have. We've got a lot of other things coming up this month that you'll find out about in your bulletin today, as well as in the days ahead. So be sure to read your bulletin and stay attuned to our Facebook group. If you're not in that, let me know and we'll get you into that so that you can get those weekly announcements.
Join us in this next song. It may not be as one that you've sang a bunch, but pay attention to the words while we're singing it. Freely, freely. Please join the choir as we sing. Oh,
choir is going to sing this morning a special called Good, Good Father with Love Lifted Me. And we know you know the words to that, so we want to encourage you to sing along with us, especially when we get to Love Lifted Me.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of loving in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. So unexplainable.
That's one of those songs you need to get stuck in your head and sing it all week long. Turn with us now as we sing Since I Have Been Redeemed, hymn 543. And stand as we sing this, and the children's church will be gathering over on the piano side as we sing this song.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians once again. We are continuing this walk and finishing up chapter 4 this morning. We've been a while in chapter 4, but it's been a wonderful blessing so much as we're in this section that Paul is writing about in Ephesians that is more the practical application things for our lives, where we see a lot of theological emphasis in the first chapters. But chapter 4, verse 30 through verse 32, we've already actually looked at verse 30. Our primary emphasis is going to be on verse 32, but a little bit of verse 31 also. So chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 30 down through verse 32. So let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that this message will speak to every person's heart that is here. I pray that your Spirit will touch every person's heart. Lord, if there's a person who's here who doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, may they understand from this message, may they see the clear message of the gospel that there is forgiveness at the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will help them to come to that place of receiving Him as their Lord and their Savior. But Lord, for many of us who are here this morning as believers, I pray this message will pierce our hearts. Lord, that it will prick our hearts to bring us under conviction for where we have not offered forgiveness. Lord, help us to realize that we have been forgiven so that we can forgive. So bless this message this morning, Lord, and I pray that you will use it in a powerful way to bring us, everyone as believers, to where we need to be in our walk with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, you can go to any church in America, practically any denomination, regardless of its size, regardless of its location, regardless of its creed, and I promise you that there's one thing you would definitely find among the congregation. There would be some who would have bitter hearts. It doesn't matter where you go. Sometimes we think there's this perfect ideal of a perfect church that's out there, and there's not, because we're imperfect people. These verses from Paul that we just read about forgiveness reminds us of what Peter came, when he came to Jesus and he asked him a question about this matter of forgiveness. I want to take you back to that to set the stage for where we are here with Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. This is in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and verse 22. It says in Matthew 18, 21, then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Now, that's a good question that Peter asked there, because I'm going to tell you a little secret that if you live long enough, you already know, that nobody makes it through life free of hurt or personal injury. Either someone, somewhere, at some time has hurt you, or they will hurt you. The question is not whether or not people are going to hurt you, or whether or not people are going to do you wrong. The question is, how are you going to respond when they do? So I'm not going to tell you that this is going to be an easy message, because the subject itself is a difficult subject. And even the very word forgiveness tells us just how difficult forgiveness is. The word literally means to let go or to send away. You see, forgiveness is when you release to the Lord any bitterness that you might have, that you might feel, that you have a right to have towards somebody else, and let God handle that matter in His own way. One psychologist said this: forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. So when Peter asked that question of Jesus, he asked it in a way that many of us would be too ashamed to ask Jesus about. He was just blunt enough to say it himself. And so his question was really this. What his question really was is, how many times do I have to forgive a brother who sins against me before I can take him out and beat the living daylights out of him? That's what he's asking. And then he pulls this shrewd trick. He makes the suggestion to Jesus what he thinks the answer ought to be. You know, we do that to Jesus all the time. We go to the prayer and in prayer to the Lord, and we think we know the answer to the prayer. And so we say, Lord, here's what I need, but here's the way I want you to answer my prayer. Peter was doing that here when he comes to him, and he says, well, how about seven times? Now, the reason why Peter was specific about seven times is because the going rate in that day was three times. So what we find here is that Jewish law stipulated that a wounded person was obligated to forgive someone three times. So Peter, what he does is he doubles the number of times that the law demands, and then he adds one free pass in, one extra bonus in there. He thought he was giving Jesus a real blue light special, if you will. Peter had one concern when he asked that question. He wasn't worried, get this, he was not worried about forgiving someone too little. He was worried about forgiving somebody too much. He wasn't worried about under-forgiving an offender. He was worried about over-forgiving an offender. Surely that's all I have to do is seven times. The law requires three. I'm doubling that and throwing in an extra bonus. Surely that's all I have to do is seven times, and then I can do whatever to them. Well, as usual, Jesus gave an answer that wasn't just surprising, but absolutely stunning when you read verse 22. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times," or 70 times seven. Understand that when Jesus said 70 times seven, he's not giving a math lesson. He wasn't saying, "What I need you to do, Peter, is keep a chart, and when you get to 491 times, then you can take somebody out and beat them up." Peter wanted to say seven strikes and then you're out. Jesus wasn't even saying 490 strikes and you're out. Peter thought that if somebody sinned against you and they repented and you forgave them, and then they did exactly the same thing again and repented and you forgave them again, now you could say, "Now that's two. I'm keeping a list over here." But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You can't keep a scorecard." How often do we do that in our marriages? We keep a scorecard. You hurt me here, and we bring it up when we're hurt, and we go through the list. We got that scorecard of things that here's what you did here and here and here and here's what you said to me here and here, and we're keeping that scorecard. Jesus says you can't even keep a scorecard. If somebody sins against you the first time and you forgive that brother, then you promise not to ever hold it against them again. If they sin again, you can't say, "Now that's two." You've got to say, "That's one." So it's very obvious that Jesus has to teach not only Peter, but all of us exactly what God expects of us concerning the matter of forgiving those who hurt us. There was a study in the Journal of Adult Development that found that 75% of those surveyed believed that they had been forgiven by God for all the things they had done wrong. But only 52% say that they've forgiven others for what they've done wrong to them. Even fewer in that study, 43%, said that they've actively sought forgiveness for the wrongs that they've done to other people. So why is forgiveness so difficult? It was still difficult in Paul's day when he writes to the church at Ephesus. So let's be honest, forgiveness doesn't come naturally, and it very rarely comes easily, even as a believer. As we said before, that word forgiveness literally means to let go. It means to send away. It's really a financial term, forgiveness is, that refers to the cancellation of a debt. So here's what happens. When somebody hurts you or does you wrong, they're in your debt. And forgiveness is your willingness on your own to simply write off that debt, or to make the decision that I'm just canceling that debt out. It's the willingness to simply say to a person who's done you wrong and who really does owe you, "You don't owe me anything anymore." Forgiveness is costly. The forgiveness of God cost him his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. There's no bargain pardons. There's no blue light specials. There's no discounts on forgiveness. Remember what Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12? He said, this is something you ought to pray, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And in fact, the scripture goes on to say that if you won't forgive, he will not forgive. So sin is a debt that is owed. And when you sin against someone, you owe them. And when they sin against you, they owe you. The only thing that pays the debt off is forgiveness. But when somebody is forgiven, somebody has paid what was owed. Here's what I want you to see from what Paul tells us, these steps that Paul talks about to help you be free from the debt of your sins that you've hurt someone or they've hurt you. Here's the first thing Paul tells us to do back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. He says, release bitterness. Release bitterness. He says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. He gives this long list here that begins with bitterness, because bitterness is one of the roots there of these things. So Paul comes right out of the gate. He's not mincing any words. He's not cutting any corners. He's not pulling any punches. Once again, he's straight to the point. If you're ever going to be free and not bound to the master of bitterness, no longer imprisoned to bitterness, the first thing you have to do is to release your bitterness. So what he's just described here, what he's just described there is all the range of emotions and feelings that bitter people have. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, even malice. The fuel that keeps the fire of bitterness burning is rage and anger. And you seethe and you stew over the hurt that somebody has done to you. And then it spills over into brawling, into slander. And you constantly are talking about that person or those people to other people and letting people know just how badly you've been treated. And then that leads to malice, all the harmful, hurtful things you wish would happen to that other person. So what is Paul's advice? Paul's advice is get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Now, you may be tempted to say, that's it? That's all you've got? You want me to just drop it? Now, the Greek word for get rid of it literally means to remove yourself or separate yourself from. So the situation is still there. The thing that has happened has still happened. But you're stepping back from it. You're releasing it to, you're releasing that bitterness. That's what he's talking about here. You're getting rid of it. You're removing yourself. You're separating yourself from it. So if you've walked in, think about this. You ever walked into a spider web? I did yesterday. I was going out to the car, went out to the car, and as I walked by the car, some way some spider had made a web between the vehicles. They were far apart from one another. But when you walk into a spider web, what's the first thing you do? You're trying to get that spider web all off of you. It's sticking to you. You just don't know how to get it off. You're trying frantically to get it off. You've got one goal, is to get everything that even feels like a spider web off of you. It's the same idea here with bitterness. Get it off. Get it off quick and get all of it off. Now, that may not seem real helpful at first. In fact, for some, it may even make you upset, because Paul is somewhat unsympathetic to our hurt, but he's actually doing us a favor. If you think about it, what other option do you have? Don't think it was easy for Paul to write this, because remember that he's writing this from where? He's writing it from a prison cell. He's been unjustly imprisoned, unfairly treated. He's eventually going to lose his life just because he told the truth and shared the gospel. And yet you look with a microscope or a telescope and you won't find in Paul there any bitterness, any rage, any unresolved anger, or any ill will in his heart towards those who have imprisoned him. Paul was just simply telling us what has worked for him. His advice is very straightforward. Do you have any bitter feelings toward anybody? Get rid of them. Are you still mad or ticked off at somebody because they really messed you over? Walk away from it. You still find yourself in your mind hanging people by their toenails in hot acid? Drop it. Move on. One of the things that you see this right now in our society here in America is in politics. The election season has brought out some of the worst in people. And frankly, I would be glad when it's over, but I wonder if it ever will be over. Because people seem to be at such extremes from one another, and how will both sides ever come together? Listen, bitterness can not only ruin your life, it can follow you all the way to the grave, even after you're dead. The only way to deal with bitterness is to release it, to get rid of it. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm not saying that you just randomly, arbitrarily let it go. It's not just taking some balloons and there it goes. Watch it go. What you have to do is you have to release it to God. Understand this. When you have bitterness, that's something that you're holding on. Take your hands and do like that. Ball them up as tight as you can. Like you're ready. You're angry. You just want to hit somebody. You see they start turning white, don't they? Because the blood's not circulating. That's bitterness in your heart that you're holding on to something and you just won't let it go. I can't let it go. They hurt me. They did this to me. They said this to me. I can't let that go. It would be like, why? Where's the justice in all of that? How are they ever going to pay if I let it go? And yet Paul is saying, let it go to God. Open your fingers when you do. What a relief that is. The blood begins to circulate again. Let God carry the weight of that hurt that somebody did to you. Trust God to deal with that other person. Relax your grip on that grudge that you've been carrying. Drop that burden of bitterness that's been weighing on you for so long. If God, think about this, if God can handle the wrong that we've done to him, then he can certainly handle the wrongs that others do to you. That's the first thing that we see in these verses, is that we need to release bitterness. Secondly, we need to render forgiveness. Render forgiveness. Look at verse 32. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. The only way that you'll ever be free to forgive is to be freed from being bitter. Bitterness will put you in the handcuffs of hatred. So until you're free to forgive, you won't forgive others. When you release bitterness, then you can move on and render forgiveness. So Paul said that there in verse 32. Paul is a master psychologist, if you will, because before he asks us to forgive, here's what he tells us in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. The word tender-hearted literally means they're compassionate. You have one of two kind of hearts. Every person here this morning has one of two kind of hearts. You either have a hard heart or you have a tender heart. You have a kind heart or you have an unkind heart. And the reason why Paul says that is because you cannot find kindness and bitterness at the same time together. You can't be tender-hearted and bitter at the same time. I've never met a truly kind, truly tender-hearted, bitter person in my life. So Paul is setting us up to get us to the next step of forgiveness. Now, just to be clear, I'm not saying this in a vacuum. I'm not being naive. I realize that I'm speaking to some people right now, maybe even some of you online, who are in bondage to the master of bitterness. You may even be bitter towards God because of some tragedy that happened in your life, and your view is God didn't prevent it. God didn't stop it from happening. You may be bitter toward a spouse who left you for another person. You may, and that made you a single person raising children on your own. You may be bitter toward a company that fired you or let you go with no severance, even though you served them faithfully for many years. You may be bitter towards someone who physically or even sexually abused you, and they've never admitted it and never will be brought to justice. You may be bitter towards a father who never gave you approval, any approval, or a mother who never affirmed her love for you. You may be bitter towards the church with a bad experience that you had. We're not making light of any of that. We're just simply telling you the truth. What bitterness starts, that bitterness starts, only forgiveness can end. What bitterness starts, only forgiveness can end. So if you refuse to forgive someone who's done you wrong, then understand this, you're not keeping the person who sinned against you locked in a prison of bitterness, you're keeping yourself locked in a prison of bitterness. You know who's paying for your bitterness? You are. That person's not losing any sleep at night. You're the one who's developed ulcers. You're the one who can't enjoy life because you're always on fire, burning under the heat of bitterness. You're the one that's miserable. They're not. What you really want is like what everybody wants, to get even. You ever thought about what that means? Think about if someone has done something wrong to you, they are not above you. They're not above you. They're beneath you. And if you get even with them, you're not going higher, you're going down lower. You're going down to their level. You aren't bringing them up, you're going down. You may say, so you just want me to let them off the hook? It's worse than that. The point is that you are on the hook with them. Their guilt has become the fuel for your bitterness. In a way, what you're doing to yourself is worse than what they did to you. Here's what happens when you forgive. You actually set two people free. You set the person you forgive free from owing you, and you set yourself free from having to collect from them. You see, that's what God's forgiveness does. God's forgiveness of us sets us free from the prison of guilt, and our forgiveness of others sets us free from the prison of bitterness. So let me tell you something. There's nothing like being debt-free. But being debt-free financially cannot compare to being debt-free emotionally and spiritually. That's what happens when you render, when you give forgiveness. Here's the last and third point. We need to reproduce godliness. Notice again, verse 32. You'll never release bitterness, and you'll never render forgiveness until you really want to. Forgiveness is all about motivation. And so again, Paul, being the master psychologist, now tells us not only what we need to do, but most importantly, why we need to do it. You see, the way to motivate people isn't to tell them what to do or even how to do it, but to tell them why they should do it. And so Paul plays the trump card here, if you will. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The motivation for forgiveness is found in those six words. As God in Christ forgave you. God's forgiveness is both the model for and the motivation for forgiveness. You know why you ought to forgive others? Because God has forgiven you. Do you know the way you should forgive others? The way God has forgiven you. I'm going to give you the secret on how to release bitterness and how to render forgiveness. Here's the key. Stop focusing on what others have done to you and start focusing on what God has done for you. Stop focusing on what others have done to you and start focusing on what God has done for you. You see, the litmus test for whether or not you've really experienced the peace and the forgiveness of God in your heart is your willingness to extend forgiveness to others from your heart. Because remember, Jesus said, if you will not forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins. You have to extend forgiveness to others from your heart. Understand, we're never more like God than when we forgive. And when you release bitterness and you render forgiveness, what you are doing is you are reproducing godliness in your life. You see, the simple reason why you ought to be a forgiving person is because you are a forgiven person. Only forgiving people are motivated to forgive. You know why we as believers should forgive? Because we've been forgiven. Forgiveness cannot be bottled up. It cannot be locked up. Forgiveness experienced must be forgiveness expressed. God isn't just the motivation for our forgiveness. He's the model for our forgiveness. We're to forgive just like God has forgiven us. And how has God forgiven us? He has first forgiven us freely. You did not have to pay for the forgiveness from God. So why are you wanting to make somebody else pay for the forgiveness from you? God didn't charge us anything for forgiving him, for forgiving us. He charged his son. Sometimes we want to give, forgive the principal of the crime only after we've collected the interest of revenge. We want them to pay first, then I'll forgive them. You see, true forgiveness is free. No strings attached. There were no strings attached to the forgiveness that you received from God. No conditions is the kind of forgiveness that's free. No strings attached, no conditions, no fine print at the bottom of the contract. God has forgiven us freely. Secondly, God also forgives us fully, completely. Forgiveness is not fractional. Understand that if God refused to forgive just one part of one fraction of one decimal point of one sin, none of us would have a chance of having eternal life. He not only forgave all of our sin, he continues to forgive all our sin. When you forgive somebody, you forgive them fully, completely. And then to forgive the way God forgives, notice he forgives us finally, finally. Because understand this, when you cancel a debt, that debt's erased. If you go to a collector who you owe a debt to and you plead with them, hey, I need some relief here. Can you cancel this debt out? And if they were to say, sure, we'll cancel it out, stamped, paid in full. You wouldn't expect them then, in a couple of months, to come back and say, oh, wait a second, we changed our minds, we want the money back now. No, you've got a document that says, paid in full, it's already been paid. So understand this, when you cancel a debt, that debt is erased. To forgive a wrong, the wrong is gone. You don't hold a grudge. You don't bring the sin back up. You wipe the slate clean. It doesn't mean you forget it, because you can't totally forget it, particularly a serious wrong. But you choose to bury it, walk away from it, never bring it up again. There are some who are here this morning, and you need to make a decision right now. There are people who need to get forgiveness for what you've done to others. And there are people who are here this morning who need to give forgiveness for what others have done to them. The only place that you can do that is at the foot of the cross of the one who died for you. You can take your guilt to him and he'll forgive you. And then you can take your guilt to the one that you've wronged and ask for forgiveness. And you can take your bitterness to the one who had every right to be bitter but wasn't. And you can leave the wrong that was done and the person who did it with them and leave it with them, leave it with God to take care of both. But you may say, what about them getting justice? What they did was egregious. It hurt. It was unlawful, maybe even illegal. What about what they deserve for what they did? Let me ask you this morning, do you really trust God? Because here's what God says in His Word in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 through verse 19. Paul says it this way, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So if somebody does evil to you, do not repay evil for evil. He says in verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So do you really trust God? If you really trust God, you're trusting God that He is going to do what His Word says in His way, in His time. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. He will bring a greater justice than you ever could, but He could also bring salvation to a lost and dying soul. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness in your hearts, would you bow with me in prayer right now? Would you maybe pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Your only Son, Jesus, loved me enough to come to earth to experience the worst pain imaginable so I could be forgiven. Your mercy flows to me in spite of my faults and failures. Your Word says in Colossians 3:14, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to demonstrate unconditional love today, even to those who hurt me. I understand that even though I feel hurt, my emotions don't have to control my actions. Father, may your sweet words saturate my mind and direct my thoughts. Lord, help me to release the hurt and to begin to love as Jesus loves. Help me to see my offender through my Savior's eyes and to remember that if I can be forgiven, so can they. Lord, I understand there are no levels to your love. We're all your children, and your desire is that none of us should perish. Teach us, Lord, to let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. Lord, when I forgive in words, let your Holy Spirit fill my heart with peace. I pray that peace that only comes from Jesus will rule in my heart. Lord, keep out any doubt and any questions. When I see the person who hurt me, Lord, bring this prayer back to remembrance for me so that I can take any ungodly thoughts captive, so that I can make them obedient to Christ. And may the confidence of Christ in my heart guide me into the freedom of forgiveness. I praise you, God, for the work you're doing in my life, for what you're teaching me and you're perfecting of my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed something like that in your heart this morning, maybe for the first time, and you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to talk to you more about that. We want to invite you to come during this invitation. If you'd like a copy of that prayer, they're down here at the front that you can get after the service. But I want to encourage you as we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation, would you come this morning? Maybe you just need to come and pray at the altar for God to give you that spirit and that heart of forgiveness. Would you stand as we sing?
sin had left no crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Want to just have you refer to your bulletin and to all the activities that are going on and all the ministry activities this week. Let's see. I guess I don't have a whole lot to add to that. There's a lot that are on our prayer list that are still needing your prayers. Still needing you to live to the Lord, and even though they may have recovered from surgeries, they still need our prayers. I know there's a committee that has something that they want to talk about, so I'm going to remove myself from this platform and let that happen.
So as we all know, the preacher wears many hats in our church, so the hat's a Top Gun hat because that's just what we had, and on top of it is a bunch of different things that the preacher is, and so to his family, he's a husband, father, grandfather to our church. You know, he's our pastor, he's our song leader, he's our friend. So on top of here is also a miscellaneous title. That's sometimes if you don't know what you're doing, you can just pull the miscellaneous, and that's your job. So also with this, many of you in Sunday school wrote notes of appreciation. So, Brother Jim, this is a thing full of notes. And then from the personnel committee, this is a gift for you and Miss Samantha, a train ride across the country. So, this is all for you. Last month, all this because last month was Pastor Appreciation Month. So, thank you, Brother Jim, for all he does for us.
To the Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for being here this morning, and I hope your forgiveness this week to others is larger than you ever imagined, more than 70 times 7. So go with us this week, Lord, with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to gather, the freedoms that we have, the love that we share, Lord, the friends that we have in this body. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us with that friendship. And I pray for those that are in our nursing facilities. I pray for those that are undergoing procedures or have gone through procedures and are in recovery phase. Lord, we just bless you, thank you, and see you working in so many things. We just praise you. Thank you for Brother Jim and his family, and for all the others that do work in the church. Lord, thank you that we can maybe make you smile in helping and sharing about you to others. Lord, go with us into the community as farther than our shadow of our steeple and share about you. We love you and thank you again for your son and for your love for us. We'll talk later. In Christ's name, amen.